Today we're going to talk a little bit about the history, the origins of the Amen, and of when we respond Amen, and when we don't respond Amen. We'll talk also a little bit, hopefully, about what the purpose of Amen is, what the meaning of Amen is. Kel Melech Naaman, right? I don't even have that on the sheet, so it's good that you're mentioning it at the outset. So the place to start off is the Gemara in Brachos. I'm a little bit of ahead of where you are in the first in the shir, but that's the Brachos Memhei Amud Beis. And the Gemara says a very interesting thing. It says, Tani Chada, Ha'one Amen Achar Birchosav Harei Zeh Mishubach. A person who says, Baruch Atah, well, some bracha, and then he answers Amen after his own bracha. So it's praiseworthy, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. And Tanya Idach Harei Zeh Migune. Second Braisa says that it's despicable. It's not something which is praiseworthy at all. So how do we resolve this contradiction? Is answering Amen after your own bracha praiseworthy, or is answering Amen after your own bracha not praiseworthy? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, ha b'bonei Yerushalayim, baruch atah Hashem, bonei v'rachamav Yerushalayim, Amen. So that's, well, the Gemara sounds like it's the one case where it's okay. Are there other cases that you can think of? So the Sfardim say Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad Amen. Is there any place else? Do they do that after Hallel? By Yishtabach?
Oh, they do? After Yishtabach?
I'm not sure.
Right, so we'll actually discover it is a machloket between the Rambam, who takes the approach that you're supposed to say it more often, and Balei HaTosfot, who say that you're supposed to say it less often. We'll encounter that momentarily, but at least for Ashkenazim, the only place where we say Amen after our own brachos are Bonei Yerushalayim, like the simple reading of this Gemara sounds like. By Bonei Yerushalayim, it is Mishubach, yep. And everywhere else it is Meguneh. HaBishar brachos, by other brachos. So that's the Gemara's resolution. Now, as we mentioned, there are at least two and probably three different opinions about how to resolve this. And part of what contributes to the difficulty is that there's a Yerushalmi, a parallel Gemara in the Yerushalmi, that says something very similar. It says that there's a contradiction. One Braita says that the person who answers Amen to his own brachos, that's Chachma, it's a very wise thing to do. And another Braisa says that a person who answers Amen to his own brachos, it is burus. It is ignorant. It is stupid.
Boorish.
Right, boorish, precisely. Boorish, boorish, burus. So, so this first of all, it's worth noting that it's slightly different from what the Bavli says. The Bavli talks about being praiseworthy or being a little bit, despicable, as opposed to the Yerushalmi, which talks about being wise versus being ignorant. And the second difference is that the Yerushalmi resolves this contradiction a little bit differently. The Yerushalmi says that it's praiseworthy, it's wise, when right, 1 second. We have it here. It's in the second source, in the middle of the second source. The Rosh quotes this Yerushalmi. We'll get back to you in a second, Alvin. Right, so that's interesting. We'll have to address that at some point. That when we say v'nomar amen or v'imru amen, so the amen usually is not a response to our own bracha, but rather a prompt for the listeners to say amen. So usually when we say after a kaddish all the time, right, v'imru amen. So usually that's not, 1 second, I have here. Usually, the v'imru amen or the v'nomar amen is a prompt for the listeners. There is one source that indicates more like what you're saying, that it actually is a response, or also a response to our own bracha. And that source is actually complicated. I guess I'll say it because it fits in over here as well. That is, let's say that a person's in the middle of saying Berachos Kriyat Shema. Right? The Shliach Tzibur in Shul just sped ahead and left them in the dust. And there in the middle of Birkos Kriyat Shema, and the Shliach Tzibur is already up to Chazaras Hashatz. So when are you supposed to interrupt your Birkos Kriyat Shema to respond to Chazaras Hashatz? And when are you supposed to remain silent? So a couple of places, where are you supposed to interrupt?
Between bracha and bracha.
Okay, then there's sometimes we differentiate between when you're in the middle of the brachos or when you're actually in the middle of a paragraph, but I'm asking for what responses to Chazaras Hashatz. Meaning there are some responses to Chazaras Hashatz that you never interrupt for. And there are other responses for Chazaras HaShatz that you do always interrupt for. What are those areas of Chazaras HaShatz? The Chazan says something and then you respond.
Kedusha.
Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos. Baruch Kivod Hashem Imkomo, for sure. Yimloch Hashem La'olam. We usually don't, although there are some sources that say that we should. What else do we interrupt for? The Amen of Shomei Tefillah. Okay, excellent. Why do we interrupt for the Amen of Shomei Tefillah? Why do we interrupt for the Amen of Shomei Tefillah? There's one other Amen, by the way, that we interrupt for.
Kadosh.
And that's the Amen of Akela Kadosh. Excellent. So we interrupt for those two Amens, the Amen of Akela Kadosh and the Amen of Shomei Tefillah. And... on your team. Okay, excellent. We're all on the same team here. We're all on the same team. So for those two Amens, we interrupt... The reason is, the Magen Avraham explains, because Shmona Esrei, we know, is divided into three sections. There's the first section, which is just praising Hashem. We're not asking for anything. If you think about Magen Avos, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Akela Gadol, Gibor Vanura, we're not asking for anything in that bracha. Ata Gibor La'olam Hashem, Mechayim Yisim Ata Rav Loshia. We're just talking about the things that God does. We're not asking for anything. Ata Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh, you're holy, your name is holy, holy people praise you all the time. We're not asking for anything. Then the Amen after Akela Kadosh ends the section of simply talking about God, and then following that, we immediately begin, Chaneinu Meitcha, Chachma Bina Vadas, or Dea Bina Vaskel, grant us wisdom. And then the same thing in all of the brachos that come afterwards, we're praying to God, grant us something, we're asking for something. So the Amen of Hakela Kadosh is the end of a section that gives it more importance than all of the other Amens of Chazaras HaShatz. Then if you just trace your way through Shmona Esrei, you'll discover that every single bracha between Atachonein and Shomei Tefillah is again a request for something, whether it's a request for forgiveness or for the alleviation of tzaros or building Yerushalayim or good advice or livelihood, whatever it might be. Every single bracha in between Atachonein and Shomei Tefillah has a request in it. And Shomei Tefillah is basically, although you have to work out how Ritzei fits in, but Chazal understand that Shomei Tefillah is the last bracha where the main theme of the bracha is a request rather than a description of God. And so that also, Shomei Tefillah marks the end of a group of brachos, and therefore its Amen has an elevated stature, and we're supposed to interrupt the middle of Berachos Kriya Shema to answer that Amen. Now, this raises an interesting question. There's a third Amen that belongs on this list. The Amen of Akel HaKadosh is on the list because it brings to a close the first section. The Amen of Shomei Tefillah is on the list because it brings to a close the middle section. So you would expect that if the Chazan says, HaMevarech Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom, that you should interrupt in the middle of Birchus Kriyas Shema to answer Amin to that bracha. However, there's a Yerushalmi that seems to imply, and this is the Yerushalmi that all of the poskim quote as Halacha L'maisa, that you do not interrupt Birchus Kriyas Shema to answer the Amin of Oseh Shalom. So why not? If the first two are the end of a section and therefore their Amin has an elevated stature, so then Sim Shalom's Amin, which is also, I mean, it's the end of all of Shmona Esrei, should certainly have that elevated stature. So the Magen Avraham quotes one opinion that says that the reason that we don't say Amin to that bracha is because the Amin at the end of Oseh Shalom counts. So we're going to get our Amin for that bracha. We're going to get our Amin because when we get up to Shmona Esrei, when we get through Birchos Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei, we're going to finish Shmona Esrei with Oseh Shalom Bimramav Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'alka Amo Yisrael V'imru Amin. And the Amin of Oseh Shalom Bimramav counts as the Amin for Sim Shalom, the one that we would have neglected since we were still too early, since we were in the middle of Birchos Kriya Shema. So there you find that source does seem to indicate, like you're saying, Alvin, that sometimes the Imru Amen is answering Amen to our own brachos, but I think that the preponderance of other sources indicates otherwise, and the Magen Avraham himself has a different explanation as well of why we don't say Amen to that bracha. In fact, I should ask the Sfardim here, do the Sfardim say Amen in the middle of Birchos Kriya Shema to the Amen of Sim Shalom?
I don't know.
I think that there's more Sfardi poskim, like from the Rishonim, who felt that you should say Amen there, as opposed to Ashkenazi. Okay, so we have to look into that.
Today.
have to check the Kafachayim and see what he says there.
Well, I'll tell you, when you say Vimru Amen, you're telling other people, answer Amen to my bracha. You're not saying Amen because, like, Amen, you're answering Amen to your own bracha. But Vimru Amen, you should say Amen to my bracha. You're not saying it on your own bracha.
Right, so that's what I'm pointing out for the Magen Avraham, who says that the Vimru Amen counts as the Amen for Sim Shalom. Right, so it sounds like it's the Amen for your Sim Shalom. When you say Ve'imru Amen, so you've gotten the Amen that sort of is attached to the Sim Shalom that preceded it. So that's why I'm saying that's the one source that I'm familiar with that says that a Ve'imru Amen is not just a prompt for other people to say Amen, but it's actually your own Amen to something else. So you don't have to answer the Amen of Sim Shalom in the middle of Birkos Kriya Shema, because you're going to say Amen after Oseh Shalom.
1 minute. You don't, the Chazal Tashah doesn't say that part. You don't hear anybody saying that.
Oh, so you're, when you say your own Shmona
when
Esrei,
when you're saying
your Tefillah Belachash, you don't say Amen after Atah Kadosh, right? So that you need to say Amen to the Shliach Tzibur in order to get the Bracha and the Amen. When you're saying Tefillah Belachash, you don't say Amen after your own Shomea Tefillah. So if you want to get that Amen, you've got to get it together with the Shliach Tzibur. But since in your Tefillah Belachash is going to be followed by your own Oseh Shalom B'Ramah V'Imru Amen, so you're going to have the Bracha and you're going to have the Amen, whether you answer the Shliach Tzibur or not. That's why you don't have to interrupt your host Kriya Shema to answer the Shliach Tzibur.
But the whole point that we're saying Amen is by Chazal Tashah being loud when he says it's loud. That's the whole point. That's when he can hear you saying, I sing Shema Tfilah, you have to answer Amen. When you hear it, but when you say Elokai Netzo, you know, he doesn't even say it.
No,
you say it quietly, Tfilah Belachash, you don't say it out loud.
The Magen Avraham's assumption seems to be that you want to get every bracha and the Amen for every bracha. Like, your day is not complete if you don't have the bracha and the Amen. But the problem is, you can't answer Amen to yourself. So that's why we answer Amen to the Shliach Tzibur. That way we get all of the brachos of Shemona Esrei from the Tefillah Belachash, and we get all of the Amens during Chazaras Hashatz. Right? The one Amen that we get during Tefillah Belachash is the Amen of Sim Shalom. So that way you get it your whole day, right? You got a completion, a totality. You got the bracha of Sim Shalom, and you've got its Amen. That's how the Magen Avraham seems to be understanding it. And that's a double chiddush, because it seems to indicate that the Amen of Oseh Shalom is not just a prompt, but rather it also counts as your own answering of Amen to your own bracha of Sim Shalom. So you're right, not from the Shliach Tzibur's Oseh Shalom, from your Oseh Shalom, right? Although I should mention, just once we're on a tangent of a tangent, so we generally say that the Oseh Shalom of Kaddish after Uval Etzion, the Kaddish Tiskabal, that Oseh Shalom counts as the end of the Shliach Tzibur Shmona Esrei. And so even that, we do answer, I mean, out loud, Shliach Tzibur's Oseh Shalom, just it's a little bit later on in davening. Okay. Okay, we'll get there.
What about the Amen before Modim?
The Amen, right? So that's what everyone seems to assume, that the break is between Shomea Tefillah and Ritzei. You could argue that Ritzei is also a Bakasha, that we're asking for something. That has to be resolved in the context of analyzing Shmona Esrei.
When a person says, when the Shliach Tzibur is up to Modim, and I'm up to Shema, do I say Modim Darabanan? Do I interrupt and say Modim Darabanan?
For the first couple of words. Modim Anachnu Lach.
Shema.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So basically, let's return for a moment to where we're up to. I think we're going to end up spending 2 weeks on this, but let's return to where we're up to. That we have a contradiction. Both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi mention this contradiction, that sometimes it's meritorious, it's praiseworthy, it's wise to say Amen to your own brachos. Sometimes it's ignorant, it's despicable to say Amen to your own brachos. And what's the difference between the two of them? And so the Bavli said that it's Bonei Yerushalayim versus everything else. And the Yerushalmi seems to say something a little bit different. If you look at the third to last line on source number 2, the Rosh quotes this Yerushalmi. It's like the middle of the line. It says, Be'oneh al kol bracha u'bracha. Right? Man de'amar hareze bur. Right, sorry, you see the mem dalet in the middle of the line? Man de'amar. Right. The second source, third to last line, it's about the middle of the line, Mem Dalid, It's an abbreviation there. Man de Amar, Harez that Bur. Right? The Braita, the opinion that says that a person who answers Amin to his own brachos is ignorant, that's Be'one al Kal Bracha Ubracha. A person who says Amin without fail after every single bracha that he makes. That is a sign of ignorance. But Man de Amar Harez that Chacham, the one that says that it's wise, Be'one Besof, when he answers at the end. So that is the Yerushalmi. It sounds a little bit different from the Bavli. The Bavli says it's Bona Yerushalayim versus everything else. The Yerushalmi says it's praiseworthy not just to say Amen after Bona Yerushalayim, but after every Sof, at the end of Brachos, it's always praiseworthy, and it's only considered to be ignorant if a person answers Amen after every single Bracha. So whenever we are faced with a discrepancy between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, so we always have to ask ourselves, should we reinterpret the Bavli in light of the Yerushalmi and say that the Yerushalayim is just an example of all sofei brachot, of all ending brachos, of all last brachos, of all terminal brachos? Or do we reinterpret, well, it's hard to reinterpret the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli, so the only other option would be to say that there's a machloket, right, that the Yerushalmi has one opinion, the Bavli has another opinion, in which case the Bavli is more authoritative. So if you look at source number 3, you'll see that Tosfos say, Pok Chazi, go out and see. Mai Amadvar, how do people conduct themselves? Shalo Nohagulanos Amen, the custom is to not say Amen, Elo Achar Boni Yerushalayim de Birkas Hamazon, only after Boni Yerushalayim. In other words, the prevalent custom in Ashkenaz and Tsarfas was to interpret the Bavli literally, not to reread it in light of the Yerushalmi, and therefore to say literal reading of the Bavli is halacha l'maisa.
I can see how there might be a problem to say, man, like, if you're a bracha, if there's other people around to do it instead, but if there's no one else around to say, man, to your bracha, could you do it yourself in that case, or no?
So it's going to depend, I think, on why it's either nice or nice to say Amen after your own brachos, and that's what I hope to analyze a little bit now. Like, what exactly is going on here? Like, why would it be wise? Why would it be ignorant? Why would it be praiseworthy? Why would it be what informs all of these distinctions? So I first wanted to get to the different opinions of how to interpret this. I'll just mention very briefly the other two opinions in Rishonim, which actually seem to be the more dominant opinions in Rishonim. In other words, the minhag that Tosfos quotes is against most of the recorded opinions that are written down. But the other two opinions are the following. The Geonim say that you're supposed to respond Amen at the end of the brachos, like the Yerushalmi says. So any bracha which is not going to be followed by other brachos gets an Amin. A bracha that will be followed by other brachos does not get an Amin. So for example, a person who's saying an alamichya. Alamichya, the Geonim would say, gets an Amin. A person who's saying the bracha on thunder would say, should say Amin afterwards. A father who's saying the last bracha at a bris milah, according to the Geonim, should say Amin afterwards. Every terminal bracha gets an Amen. And the Gaonim say it makes no difference whether it's a terminal bracha of a series of brachos, such as let's say Shemona Esrei, Oseh Shalom, Mevarech Asam Yisrael Bashalom, Amen. Or Yishtabach. Yishtabach is a terminal bracha of a series of brachos. There's Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. The Gaonim say Amen. Let's say Birchos Kriyashma, to say Amen after Ga'al Yisrael, right? Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, Amen. It's a terminal bracha of a series of brachos. So the Gaonim would say that all of those get Amen, and a single bracha, which is its own beginning and its own terminus, would also get an Amen for the Gaonim. So a person saying a bracha on thunder, a bracha on lightning, a bracha on seeing a king, all of those, you know, seeing the Yam HaGadol, seeing all of those brachos, which are just one isolated bracha for the Gaonim, also get an Amin.
It closes out the section, in other words.
Right.
Right.
The Rambam has
a... at the end of the section when he changed from like, you know, when the immediate is like taking out the Torah or something. Say Kaddish, because it's a different section.
Yeah, meaning one of the functions of the Amin, for according to the Gaonim, is to serve as a bookend, you know, closing off,
right.
Exactly. The Rambam takes a slightly modified view of this. The Rambam says that that an Amen, you only say Amen after your own brachos when it's a terminus of a series of brachos. So if you have just one individual bracha, like the bracha on thunder, the bracha on lightning, the Rambam would say, don't say Amen. It's only when you have a group of brachos and you get to the terminus of that group, that's when you say Amen.
Yeah, but is it a problematic by Gali said you do have hefsek if you answer Amen?
Okay, so there's a big discussion about it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't answer Amen to anything except only Yerushalayim because of Tosfos. But it's very possible that the Rambam and the Gaonim would both say that you should. It's very possible. So let's try to figure out, based on these three opinions, what exactly is the reason behind the prohibition under some circumstances and the desirability under others. If you look at the second underline in the second source, you'll see that the Rosh gives an explanation for the Gaonim. He says, Ala peiros ve'ala mitzvos, a person who's making a bracha, borei pri ha'etz, amen. Borei pri ha'adama, amen. Right? Or if he's making a bracha mitzvos, al netilas lulav, amen. Likroes ha'halel, amen. Lahadik ner shel chanukah, amen. In all of those instances, says the Rosh, im ani amen achar nafshei, if he answers amen after himself, heve derech burus. It's a sign of ignorance. Shekin derech burim, because this is the way that ignorant people do things. The mishtayi basar bracha, they talk after their bracha, v'hadar tami, and afterwards they eat. In other words, right, everyone who's educated knows that as soon as you make a bracha, right, you need to eat. Right, that's a story that I know from the Jewish press. I'm sure that it's printed in lots of other places also. I think they say it about Reb Yonis and Apeshitz, that one time his mother cooked a delicious cake, and he really wanted a piece, but he knew that if he asked for a piece, they would say, no, we're saving the cake for a special occasion. So what he did was, is he made a bracha. Right? So then, you know, I have to have a piece, otherwise it's going to be a bracha levatala. You can't, you know, make a mizonos now, and then wait for that special occasion, and then eat the cake on the basis of the mizonos that you made, you know, hours or minutes or days earlier. The bracha needs to be immediately preceding whatever it is that you're eating. So it's a derech burus, it's a sign of ignorance to make a bracha, and then interrupt with amen, and only afterwards eat, or only afterwards perform the mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Gaonim. And for that reason, the Gaonim say that any time that it's not a bracha that's preceding some sort of a hana'ah or a mitzvah, you're supposed to say amen. The ideal is to say amen after one's own brachos, according to the Gaonim. The ideal is to say amen after one's own brachos. And so we're starting off, the default is say amen afterwards, right? But there's a couple of instances where we can't, because it would create a hefsek, like you were saying. That is, and leaving aside the Gaal Yisrael for now, because the Gaonim were not bothered by hefsek problems there, but when you say Baru Priya eats, you have to eat right away, amen would be a hefsek. So that's the opinion of the Gaonim. If you take a look at source number 6, so the Tosfos Yom Tov, in his commentary on the Rosh, gives a second reason why sometimes it's appropriate to say Amen after one's own brachos, and sometimes it's not. He writes, Hatam, the reason is, Mipnei dekishe omer Amen besof kol habrachos, when a person says Amen at the terminus of a series of brachos, Mode shekvar gomar kol habrachos, he indicates that he is sensitive, that he's aware of the theme that binds together a group of brachos, that there was a group of brachos here, and now this was the gemar that he's done. He's transitioning from saying brachos to some other part of his avodas Hashem or some other part of his life. He's mode shekvar gomar kol habrachos. He already finished all the brachos. The ein lo lomar yoser. The amen indicates I'm done. I'm done with the brachos, and now I'm moving on to something else. That's one of the functions of the amen, is that it's a bookend that marks the conclusion of the bracha saying time. Aval kisha one amin besof kal bracha ubracha. If a person says amin after every bracha, hareza bur, this is ignorant, shemare b'chol pam upam shemisayim, because it makes it sound each time like he's finishing, and then chozer v'omer achar kach brachos acheros, and he's saying new brachos. So the amin is demonstrates to say amin at the wrong point in the middle of a series of brachos, that demonstrates an ignorance, right, of the role of brachos. Now keep in mind, the Rambam says we say amin after Gaal Yisrael, even though it's immediately followed by Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Velkei Avoseinu. So the role of the amin is not necessarily to transition out of brachos and into something else. It's simply to wrap up a series of brachos that share a common theme. And so if a person says the amin in the middle of the theme, they're basically demonstrating an ignorance, an insensitivity to the theme of the series of brachos that they're in the middle of. They claim that the series is done when it's only in the middle.
So according to what you say, then why, when you say Bekatan Azon, Nei Yerushalayim, Nei Yerushalayim, Amen, why don't we put down the one? If you make a bracha on the one, we go up to Al Yechasrenu. If
excellent.
The end of the bracha, you should put down the cup of wine.
Excellent. So that's right, because there's four brachos in Birkas HaMazon, and we say Boni Barachim of Yerushalayim and Amen, and then we immediately start Barachat HaShem, right, and a new bracha, right? So the reason is that if anything, right, it's an excellent question, this particular Amen is actually showing something very wise, that there's a big difference between the first three brachos of Birkas HaMazon and the last bracha. So the first three brachos we assume are the oraisa. And if a person's not sure whether he said them or not, he should go back and say them. If a person is positive that he said the first three brachos, but unsure whether he said the fourth bracha, so the fourth bracha is only derabanan. See, sabik derabanan lahakal. You're not going to go back and say it again. So the amen demonstrates that there is something very important that the first three brachos of Birkas HaMazon share in common, and the fourth bracha does not share. So the amen is actually fulfilling its function, right, by indicating that the first three are a set, they're done, they're bound together by something in common that's important, which the bracha that follows it doesn't share.
How about Gaal Yisrael? You don't hear the Baal Tefillah say Gaal Yisrael.
Right, so again, Gaal Yisrael, it's like there's a Zohar, really it's the Gemaras already, that say that we're not supposed to interrupt between Gaal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, because it's based on a pasuk. We say, What comes before Yan Hashem B'yom Tzara in at the Tehillim?
It's the end of Perek Yutet. Tefillah Moshe. Not Tefillah Moshe.
It's based on a pasuk that the Gemara says that you're not supposed to interrupt between Gaal Yisrael and right between Geula and Tefillah, right? Because
I should have known better.
Yes, I have to remember that somehow or other this Yan Hashem Biyom Tzara is a source for not interrupting, right? Because there's based on that a bunch of poskim say that there's you're supposed to differentiate between Shabbos and weekdays, and it's interesting. But basically, there are separate reasons for Gaal Yisrael for not saying Amen afterwards, for not even answering Amen to someone else's bracha in between.
What's one particular reason for not being mafsik? Just one reason. One, there are various reasons, but what's one particular reason? Now, we know you're not mafsik, but what's one particular reason?
So I'm trying to remember. It's based on this pasuk, and it has something to do with the theme of Geula being juxtaposed with the theme of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And hopefully, I guess in 2 weeks, we'll talk a little bit about when do we interrupt, when do we not interrupt, and then we'll see a little bit more, then I'll be better prepared to answer your question.
Thank
That's really
you.
What I should say. So,
Something to look forward to. I always look forward, not backwards.
So again, the Rosh says that it's a sign of ignorance to answer Amen and thereby interrupt between Bori Priya Eitz and eating the fruit. And the Madani Yom Tov says that it's a sign of ignorance to interrupt in between two brachos that share the same theme, because that shows that you're not really aware what the theme of the two brachos are. That's the Madani Yom Tov. So all of that so far informs the opinion of the Gaonim, who take a very broad approach. They say you should say Amen under many circumstances. The opinion of Tosfos, right, is based on the following. If you look at source number 7, the underlined part, The Prima Gadim and the Vilna Gaon says the same thing, gives an explanation for Tosfos, and he says, Ich ya'ane achar atzmo. How can a person say Amen after his own bracha? Sheperush Amen, the meaning of Amen is, Ani ma'amin u'michazek she'emes diber ha'mevarech. I believe and I reinforce that the bracha is true. That the whatever statement is contained in the bracha is true. The achar atzmo ein shayach zeh. That's not relevant at all after one's own bracha. Dimistama omer hu emes. We don't tell lies when we talk. We mean to say that, like I said it, that's how it is.
It's redundant. Mm-hmm.
So to say what I say, and by the way, you should know, right, believe me, that is a little bit redundant.
Over the top.
You don't have to say it. Presumably, you wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true. So, Amen is just like saying, yeah, believe me, it's true. It's uncalled for after one's own bracha. Now, this is very interesting. This is what informs the practice that everyone has, which is that the only time that we say Amen is after Bonei Yerushalayim. We'll have to figure out why even we say Amen after Bonei Yerushalayim. You don't need to say believe me after Bonei Yerushalayim any more than after any other bracha. But it seems that the main function, or at least nowadays, right, the main meaning of Amen is, yes, you're right, it's true. You don't need to say that after your own bracha. So first of all, the Prima Gadim points out that you can't say it's true after every single bracha. After brachos, which actually are describing something, they're describing a reality, right? So you can say true. But there are many things which are requests. Brachos which contain bakashos. And after those brachos, Amen can't mean it's true, because the bracha doesn't contain a statement of fact, but rather the bracha contains a petition. It contains a plea. And so Amen there must mean something else. Look at the point after the underline in the Prima Gadim, source 7. He says, Masha'in kein amen achar bakasha. The amen that's after a bakasha, sheperosh, that the interpretation, the proper explanation of that amen is, Yihi ratzon sheye amen bimheira she'elaseinu. We hope that our request will be granted, right? That God will show his loyalty to us, if you will, and fulfill the request, or he'll respond to our trust in him with a fulfillment of the request that we gave him. We hope that it becomes mi'uman bimheira, swiftly, v'chadome, and says the Prima Gadim, imkein yesh la'anos achar atzmo. For bakashos, a person should respond amen after his own bakasha. So after, let's say, right, a misha berach, right? So how do the misha berachs end? It's v'nomar amen. So you don't even have to say the v'nomar. You just say amen, right? Because it's part of the prayer that not only are we praying that this should happen, but we're praying that it should happen soon, and that God should show his loyalty, right, to us, if you will, by being ma'amin, our request. And if that's the case, so the Prima Gadim says, if you find a bracha that's primarily a bakasha, and not simply a description, so that bracha you would answer amen after your own bracha, even according to the prevalent minhag, to restrict it to Bonei Yerushalayim.
Turn the page
around. I'm trying to think what to do next. Yeah, let's turn the page for a second. So this raises a bunch of interesting questions also. Let's say that a person finishes a bracha at the same time as the Shliach Tzibur finishes a bracha. Do you say Amen or not? Is the Amen that you would answer in that circumstance an answer of your own bracha, or is it an answer to the Shliach Tzibur's bracha?
Well, that's what the Baruch Shamar, if you finish before the Shliach Tzibur, you could say Amen.
Yes. Yeah. But if you finish at the same time as the Shliach Tzibur, do you say Amen or not?
Split second?
Machlokes between... Oh, okay, so 1 second. So this is a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon. If you finish Baruch Shamar at the same instant as the Shliach Tzibur, if you finish Yishtabach at the same instant as the Shliach Tzibur, do you say Amen?
No.
because it's amin to the Shlech Tzibur's bracha? Or do you not say amin because it's amin to your bracha? So the Vilna Gaon says, listen, if the reason that we don't say amin to our own brachos is because it's redundant, I wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true, and so I don't need to say true, right? Believe me, after my bracha, because I wouldn't have said the bracha if I didn't believe that it was true. So then the Shliach Tzibur says, Melech Me'ulah Batish Bachos. At the same time, I'm saying Melech Me'ulah Batish Bachos. Do I need to affirm the truth of what the Shliach Tzibur said? Is there any greater affirmation than the fact that I echoed what he said at the same time as he said it? So once again, the Vilna Gaon argues the Amin is redundant in those circumstances. The Amin is redundant. How I don't need to say Amin that I believe that what the Shliach Tzibur said is true if I myself, at the same time as the Shliach Tzibur, said what the Shliach Tzibur said. So the Vilna Gaon says, do not say Amin, even though the Shliach Tzibur also finished at the same time. That's the Vilna Gaon. The Magen Avraham says no. He says you should say Amin. Aye, but isn't it redundant? So he obviously believes that the role of Amin, even to a descriptive bracha, is more than simply an affirmation of the truth of the statement contained in the bracha. He thinks somehow that the Amin is meant to strengthen the bracha. Right? We had this line in Prima Gadim earlier. He says, it's ma'amin. It's ma'amin. I state that I believe the bracha, but it's also mechazek. It strengthens the bracha somehow. The Amin adds something to the bracha.
It represents an exclamation point.
It reinforces like an exclamation point, like the punctuation at the end of the sentence, precisely. And for that reason, and again, we'll discover why in a second, the Magen Avraham seems to feel it is impossible for a person to strengthen his own bracha. So you don't answer Amin to your own bracha because you need someone else to strengthen it. It's like a duet, right? Right, you can't. It's just something which is impassable. You can't have a duet with just one person. Right? Even if the person says one thing and then says something else, but it's still all just a solo. You can only have a duet if there are two people. So the bracha and the amen together are like a duet, and the second role can only be filled by somebody other than the one saying the bracha.
So according to that logic, when we say Hallel, the Shliach Tzibur says Hallel, we say amen, and then we say our own bracha. Isn't our own bracha reaffirming what the Shliach Tzibur is? Or saying can say the same thing by Spiros Omer.
We say amen, and then we immediately follow it.
Well, Stephen, that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. That's an awesome question.
Excellent point. Good for you.
It's Michael Wilson.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So let me tell you what this reminds me of. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. The Prima Gadim himself gives the following two rulings based on his opinion. He says, number one, let's say the Shliach says, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevorach, right? And then everyone answers, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Leolam Boed. That's a bracha, right? So should the Shliach Tzibur say Amen to the people's Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Leolam Vaed? Question number one. Question number two, so then the Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Leolam Vaed, and the people are about to say Birchos Kriyas Shema. So should the people before Birchos Kriyas Shema say Amen to the Shliach Tzibur's Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Leolam Vaed?
Some do,
right. It's like a Hasidish Minog to say Amen to the Shliach Tzibur's. But do the Hasidish Shliach Tzibur's say Amen to the people's Baruch Hashem HaMevorach?
I doubt.
I don't think so. I've never heard that.
No, but to the Shliach Tzibur's.
Yeah. So the Prima Gadim gives this exact explanation. He says, since the Shliach Tzibur is going to himself say Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Leolam Vaed, it's redundant for him to say Amen. It's a better moon, a better reinforcement, affirmation of belief in the statement of the Tzibur to repeat it than it is to simply say Amen. So he says the Shliach Tzibur should not say Amen to the bracha of the people, but the people should say Amen to the Shliach Tzibur's bracha, because keep in mind they paused, right? They said their bracha, then the Shliach Tzibur said his bracha, and now they're going to go on to a new bracha, and so it's definitely possible for them to affirm. A couple of seconds have already passed between when they made the statement and when the Shliach Tzibur concluded his statement, says the Prima Gadim, under those circumstances, it is appropriate for the people to say Amen. Right, because that would be assuming, like the Vilna Gaon, right? Just that the only role of Amen is to affirm, and there's no need to affirm it if we're...
No, we don't want to make the hetzik.
Yeah, we don't want to be mafsik in between the bracha and the kriya shema for a number of reasons, which we may discuss in 2 weeks from now. Right, that's you and Joe together can eagerly anticipate the next in the series. So 1 second. So the Prima Gadim says also by Birkas Hamazon. He says, let's say by Birkas Hamazon, we say Rabosai Nevareich Yishim Hashem Mevorach Lod Metaver Olam by Brishus Nevareich Shachanu Shel Mishalo. Then everyone says Baruch Shachanu Mishalo Uv Tuvoch Hayinu. That's a bracha. And then the Mizamein says Baruch Shachanu Mishalo Uv Tuvoch Hayinu. So again, the Prima Gadim says that when you say, when the people that, who are responding say Baruch Shachanu Mishalo, the Mizamein does not need to say Amen to them, because he's just going to repeat the same thing after them. That's a much better affirmation. But when the Mizamein says it, when he repeats it after them, the people are not going to repeat it after him. They're just going to move on to Birkas Hamazon. So the Prima Gadim says he thinks that you should say Amen to the Mizamein's Baruch Shachanu Mishalo Uv Tuvoch Hayinu. So I think you're right. I think that the Prima Gadim would tell you that you should not say Amen to the Shliach Tzibur's bracha on Hallel, or the Shliach Tzibur's bracha on Sfiras HaOmer, because you're about to repeat afterwards exactly what the Shliach Tzibur said. There's no better affirmation than that. So why do we have the custom of doing that? Because we clearly understand that Amen is more, right, again, and this is against the Prima Gadim, against the Vilna Gaon, that Amen has to be more than just an affirmation of what went before. It's Joe's exclamation point. It adds something to the bracha. It makes it into a duet rather than just a solo. That's the best harmony for a bracha, and therefore the Amen is going to add something that the bracha did not have before. Now again, we will accept that you can't add that to your own bracha. Just impossible, but you can add that to somebody else's bracha, and it's more than just saying the same bracha together with him. It gives a little bit extra pizzazz to the bracha when the bracha has an amen after it. I think that's also what informs what I mentioned in response to Alvin's question earlier, that the reason, right, that there's this ideal that for Shmona Esrei, for every bracha of Shmona Esrei, there's this ideal that you have the bracha and you have the amen to the bracha. Because it's not just enough to have the bracha. You want to have the bracha and the amen, because the amen is something totally different from the bracha itself. It doesn't mean I affirm. If you affirm this, you already said your Shmona Esrei. But the bracha adds something. You want to have participated in all the different roles that people play during Shmona Esrei. That's why you want to get amens to all. Now, we'll have to figure out what the role of the amen is, but it definitely seems from these sources and from the popular custom to say Amen after these brachos of Hallel and Sfiras HaOmer, that the Amen is more than simply just an affirmation. Now it should be mentioned that, let's say that you're finishing one bracha, the Shliach Tzibur is finishing a totally different bracha. Now, let's say that you're a little bit behind or a little bit ahead, so one of you is finishing Yishtabach and the other one is finishing the bracha of Yotzer HaMeoros. So there you would think that everyone would agree that you should say Amen, because after all, right, you're not affirming the Shliach Tzibur's Yotzer HaMeoros by your saying Yishtabach. So you're finishing Yishtabach. Your Amen after Yishtabach would be referring to the Shliach Tzibur's Yotzer HaMeoros, and that way you get your Yishtabach and you affirm the Yotzer HaMeoros. So that definitely the Magen Avraham says that it seems to be indisputable, even though if you look at source number 9, somebody disputes it, which is worth thinking about, but that's the Magen Avraham. So let's just pause for a second and summarize what we have. Sometimes it's good to say Amen after your brachos. According to the Gaonim, it's always good to say Amen after your brachos, except when it's going to interrupt between the bracha and the eating, or the bracha and the mitzvah. According to the Baalei HaTosfos, So we saw that the reason is that the time that it's not good is because you don't want to interrupt. Or, right, you could say alternately, like the Tosfos Yom Tov, that it's always good to say Amen after your brachos, but not only do you want to avoid interrupting between the bracha and the activity that the bracha is going on, you also want to avoid giving an impression that you don't understand the theme of brachos. And so you're only going to answer Amen after, at the terminus of a set of brachos, not in the middle of a set of brachos, because to answer Amen in the middle of a set gives the impression that you think that the set is over, even though the set is not over. So that was what informed the opinion of the Geonim, probably the opinion of the Rambam. On the other hand, we had the opinion Tosfos said the Minhag HaOlam was in Germany and France was to not say Amen after any brachos. And to that, we saw that the Prima Gadim and the Vilna Gaon explained that the role of Amen is primarily to affirm what was said, and you don't need to affirm your own bracha. We saw based on that there have to be a number of exceptions, such as to say Amen after a bracha that contains a bakasha, because there the Amen is not an affirmation, it's part of the prayer, and so it adds something to the bracha and it would be appropriate to say. And we also saw that when you finish at the same time, right, as the Shliach Tzibur, so then perhaps you should say Amen. That was the opinion of the Magen Avraham. But the Magen Avraham can't say that that's simply because Amen is an affirmation. He must believe that the Amen does more than that. The Amen is also something that elevates it. It adds on something to the bracha. It's the exclamation point. And as a result, even though you can't add that onto your own bracha, you could add that onto someone else's bracha. That was what informed the opinion of the Magen Avraham. So let's just take a look for a second at source number 10, which may be one practical nafkamina between some of this. The Mishnah Brura is dealing with the following two questions. It says, let's say that you're at somebody's meal and the person's making kiddush, and you're not going to say your own Bori Priya Gafen when you get your little cup of grape juice, but you're going to rely on the Bori Priya Gafen that you heard from the person who's making kiddush. So here's scenario number one. The person makes kiddush, right? He pours some wine into his own cup and takes a drink. And he starts pouring into all the other cups. And it's taking such a long time, and so you start a conversation with the person next to you. Then you get the wine. Do you have to make a Bori Priya Gafen again or not?
I would think so, because you were mafsik between the bracha that he made. I think to be yotze, you should wait and be quiet.
So that's right. So you're saying like the Shulchan Aruch against the Ramah, right? But this is an interesting situation where the Mishnah Brura and many of all the posting came after the Ramah, passing like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Ramah. So, but there is a machlokas about this. So you're taking the side that it does constitute a hefsek. And the way that this is explained by some achronim is the following. The amen is an affirmation. The reason that I'm yotze, when I say amen to somebody's bracha, is because by affirming the content of that bracha, I basically am doing the same thing as making the bracha myself. Right? That's why making the bracha myself eliminates the need for an effort, right, for an amen, right? Because basically saying amen and making the bracha yourself are equivalent, right? Both of them, whether you're affirming it by repeating it, whether you're affirming it by simply saying I affirm that it's true, you're doing the same thing. So when you are yotze with somebody else's bracha, and by saying amen to that bracha, essentially what you're doing is by saying amen in that one word, you're encapsulating the entire bracha, right? You are saying, so he said his bracha, and you, by saying amen, said your bracha. So just like you can't interrupt between a bracha and drinking, so you can't interrupt between your amen, which encapsulates a bracha, and drinking. That's the opinion of, right? That's your opinion, that's the Shulchan Aruch opinion, that's the Mishnah Brura's opinion. So what informs the opinion of the Ramah, who says that you're allowed to interrupt, right? What exactly is an amen according to the Ramah? Right? It's got to be, again, more than just an affirmation. If it were just an affirmation, so then, you know, it's the equivalent of my own bracha, and so I can't interrupt between my amen and my drinking. For the Ramah, somehow, it's got to be that there's a duet going on over here. Right? The amen adds the exclamation point to the bracha. The bracha plus the amen is something which is complete, as opposed to a bracha absent the amen, which is lacking in some way. So we don't view it as he made his bracha, and I, by saying amen, made my own bracha, but rather we would view it as together, right? He and I, right, made a bracha with an amen. So I would say that what we would view that as, there's all this juice in front of us, all these different cups of juice, and we're all like a collective, we're all participating, right, in this gorgeous choir together. And so I'm going to say, he's going to say the bracha, I'm going to say the amen, and then together we will partake of the food in front of us. So does it make a difference whether all the mouths acquire partake of the food, or whether one person, in the end of the day, the bracha covers all the food in front of all of us, right? The bracha plus its amen, right? And one act of eating should be sufficient, right? Just like if I'm going to have two bites, I don't need to make a bracha on the first bite and a bracha on the second bite. So we'll just view it, instead of viewing it as one mouth and one mouth and one mouth and one mouth and one mouth, we'll view it as many mouths. They're all participating in the bracha amen series, and then they're also all going to participate in the food. So as long as one person, and as long as the person who said the bracha tastes the grape juice, so now the bracha has been, the bracha plus its amens have been made immediately prior to the drinking. Everything afterwards, now you can go about your own conversations and eat when it arrives.
But unless if you don't say amen to the bracha, it's so necessary.
So what happens if you hear a kiddush but you don't say amen? Right, so that's the shomea is keone, and haone amen ki'ilu birech. That's what the Gemara says. If shomea is keone, when you hear something, it's as if you're saying it. But when you say amen, that's what makes it as if you made the bracha. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if a person hears kiddush and doesn't say amen, are they yotzei kiddush?
The way you're saying it, I don't think.
Elvin says yeah.
So we're unanimous here, right? That you need the amen to be yotzei, right? Because yeah. So
now the other way around. Now you said amen and you didn't.
If you well, because as long as the person making kiddush drank, or as long as someone in the group drank, then you're covered.
You don't have to drink, but don't. What about this whole thing of having the zonos?
Okay, that's a kiddush question, right? But the fact is, right, especially in the context of kiddush, that only one person needs to drink, and then everyone is yotzei, right? So that just reinforces the idea that the bracha plus the amen is more like a collective choir than a series of isolated responses or affirmations or statements. Now the only thing is this, I have not worked out yet, but I'll leave it to you to resolve. Maybe you can resolve it for me right now. So you would expect, if this is the logic that informs the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura, so you would expect that what would happen if one of the, let's say the person who made kiddush interrupts before he drinks. But I didn't interrupt. I stayed quiet until I got my grape juice and drank. So you would think that everyone should be yotzei.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? Because again, it's the choir. Now I'm saying is that he's making kiddush. That's just his role, right, in the performance. Right, but he's not any more special than me. Right, it's a duet. He has his role, I have my role, and together we're putting on this performance, which must precede the drinking of the juice.
So he made the problem, not you.
He's the one that's making everyone yes. So he's the essential role. He is essential. We're not just like a duet. He's central. He's making the.
You're saying because he has the lead role, right? There's the lead role and then there's the other role. See, he has the lead role, so therefore his conduct is more critical for defining, right, the how the, this choir is approaching, right, what's in front of it, than the role of any of the other members of the choir.
Reaffirm the things that he said.
Okay, so that I think we're going to have to pick up with that next week. The question is the person making the bracha the one who's playing the lead role in the choir? Or perhaps answering amen is really the lead role in the choir. There are sources that seem to indicate that the amen is more significant than the bracha itself. Right, but let's keep that in mind. That's if you look source number 11, you'll see that it seems to indicate that. And so Mirz Hashem, we'll pick up with that. Gadol Ha'ona. Sometimes exclamation point is the most important thing. Right?